chat was really neat as well. And it was just a tremendous time. I will speak to you tonight from 1 Peter chapter 2. Those men who went to the camp, if you want to leave now, you can. You've heard this message. There goes Bruce. So you don't have to tell me twice. May the Lord puncture your tire on the way out. I talked about at camp that the other, I kind of dream in preacher, and I think I made that comment recently. So a lot of my dreams will be about me in the ministry, whether it's simply about preaching and I forgot to put my shoes and socks on, or something silly like that, or having the opportunity to be a part of some service. And just a couple of weeks ago, the very end, the statement in my dream, and I often don't remember it this way, but I got up and I immediately wrote it down, was this statement: why would you ever live your life dependent on someone else for your own spiritual growth? And that statement itself kind of hit me. Why would you ever live your life dependent upon someone else for your own spiritual growth? And it really hit me that we as Christians need to learn to feed ourselves, as the guys have already been mentioning, and really take control of our own spiritual growth. And we can do that. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 talks about you need not any man teach you, because you got the Holy Spirit living in you. And the Holy Spirit will teach you. And so you just need to get in the Word. Again, I mentioned in the message, it's not against preaching, because the Bible says, preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Because a time will come when they will not hear sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So the Bible is not saying don't learn from anyone else. The Bible clearly teaches that. The Bible says you don't have to base all your growth upon that. You as a Christian can feed yourself. And so I did go to this passage about the newborn babes. It talks, first of all, about wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, envies, and evil speaking. Now, that's interesting because it's written to Christians. We would somewhat be appalled to know that there's someone like that in our church, in our congregation. But the reality of it is sometimes we're all like that. In an aspect of it, maybe not all the aspects, but at least some of it. At times, we can all be hypocrites. At times, we can all envy. It was easy to become envious up there, watching some guys and their skills at doing something. Just a simple envy that way. Sometimes our speaking is evil, just not appropriate or not what the Lord would be pleased with. And the malice has the idea of having a heart to hurt, a heart to injure. Sometimes, sadly, we can all have that. But the Bible talks about laying that aside, putting that off. It'd be a put on, put off type passage. You put that off and then put on as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And that's the idea if you're a Christian. That verse number 3 of that passage, if so be that ye have tasted the Lord is gracious, basically is just saying if you're saved. If you're a Christian, then as newborn babes, here's the command. You must desire the sincere milk of the Word with this idea that ye may grow, with the intention that God wants us to grow. You've heard the statement many times. I heard it originally from Dr. Jim Berg, but you've heard me repeat the statement many a times. God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but he does expect you to be growing. And he wants you to be growing as a Christian. And the way to grow is by desiring, beginning-wise, the sincere milk of the Word. I said there's 3 things about babies that they need to be taught. Number 1 is they got to clean up before they eat. Number 2, they got to be taught how to eat. In fact, if you give them a spoon or a fork too early, it's pretty disastrous. And you'll be doing a lot of cleanup afterward. And you got to teach them what to eat. I mean, children wouldn't naturally know what is best for them to eat. They would grab at whatever's closest at hand. And if they've got the taste already for candy or cake or ice cream. They would go for that. So would I. They would go for that. But as newborn babes, they've got to be taught to clean up before they eat. And that's really what the Bible teaches here, verse number one. Before we ever get into the Word of God, we need to put off and we need to go to the Lord and ask forgiveness or confess these aspects in part of our lives, way beyond just what that verse 1 says. James chapter 1 does talk about to put off sin as well and receive with meekness the engrafted word. So James gives the same principle in chapter 1, verse 21, I believe it is, James. So first of all, we've got to learn too to put off, clean up before we eat. And how do we eat? And that's probably one of the reasons we don't grow like we ought to, is we've tried it. We've tried studying the Bible and just didn't fit, didn't work. Didn't know what to do, didn't know where to start. And I think as Christians, we need to help each other with that. We need to mentor each other with that. Sometimes our preaching and our teaching is along that line. Last year for Sunday school, we had a number of messages almost the entire year on Bible study, and various pastors would come up and share how they study the Bible or something that's impacted them in their Bible study method. And so I would encourage you to learn some methods that would help you to grow as a Christian. Again, this is the idea of how to eat, because you've got to teach that to a babe. So we need to teach that to those who are wanting to grow in Christ. And so they can be taught how to do a word study, how to do a book study, how to do a character study, how to use a concordance, as Brother Bruce was talking about. You know, it's how to use an app. That can be part of it. How to use a dictionary, that's part of it. And so as Christians, I would encourage you, if you're not feeding yourself, I mean, don't wait for Sundays for me to feed you. Don't starve all week long spiritually because you're not sure what to do. And again, if you're not sure, just ask. Just ask somebody, hey, I'm not sure how to study the Bible. You might just come across in a way, and you say, hey, what are you doing to study the Bible? Maybe you don't want to admit you don't know how to study the Bible. Just ask somebody else what they're doing to study the Bible. How do you study the Bible? And may the Lord give through them you something that will help you to understand a little better how to study the Bible yourself and to be able to begin to grow. And then again, what to eat. Babies have to be taught what to eat as they begin to grab food on their own. Want them to, first of all, grab something that will help them grow upward more than outward. They can choose things to grow outward, but they need to grow upward. And so I gave some examples. I said, you know, right now I'm feeding my soul in the book of Job, but not many people like feeding their soul in the book of Job. You just have to be, and I'm not saying I'm not super mature and spiritual that I can do so. I was just at the right place and Job was going to help me. And studying through the book of Job would help me. I would take the time to really find truth to help me because I just felt it was right for me right now where I am. And so, but for you, it might be the book of Psalms because you can identify with Psalms and what people are going through. Use John. Karen has a wonderful study that she wrote herself through the book of the Gospel of John. You could ask Karen for that study. Gives you some questions to ask. She has, a coffee cup on there, eyeglasses on there, a couple little icons. This point is to something to meditate upon, and this is something to look into more and so forth. And I think the book of John is really good. These things are written that you might know. That he's the Son of God, that you might believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and believing him, I have life through his name. Takes you through the character of Christ in the book of John. He learned many things, even the disciples in John 2, after he was able to perform the miracle. The miracle there, Cana of Galilee, the disciples believed on him yet some more. So this is a great book for us to go through. And I said in the message up there, I'm not trying to set up there. But you know, sometimes we're enamored with Revelation. We read it not to feed our soul, but just because we want to know. And I think we can sometimes get enamored with something just to know it and not really to feed our soul. And so let me encourage you to desire to grow. I think as a baby, you know, it gets to a point, a child gets to a point where they really want to grow. And we ought to get to a point where we really want to grow spiritually. So turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. I just want to point out a little bit yet what I did with them. And again, I'm not trying to duplicate everything from that message. But in Hebrews 5, and I haven't preached on this in a long time, beginning in verse number 11, he was talking about who was the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, which is Christ. And he says, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered. And the reason it's hard to try to explain it is because ye are dull of hearing. You've become complacent. And I'm not making that jab at you all. I'm just saying that's what the passage is really saying. He said, I have tremendous truth about who Jesus Christ is, the order of Melchizedek. But it's already hard to explain, especially since you're kind of apathetic. You're not sitting on the edge of your spiritual seat wanting to learn and grow and change. In fact, he goes on. This is why I chose this passage, because there's some unique connections over to 1 Peter 2. When the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Let me ask you, have you been a Christian long enough that you ought to be able to help someone else to learn the Bible? And could it be that you're not, and you're still needing someone to teach you? He says you ought to be to the place where you ought to be a teacher. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to sign up to teach a Sunday school class or a VBS class or something like that. You could be a teacher. We were kind of teaching each other on the weekend. Just with sharing things and up at the camp and so forth. I mean, a lot of men were teachers up there. And again, one of the guys had a unique opportunity. He talked to me, introduced me to a guy named Chris. And he says, when you preach the closing message, if you don't mind, do an invitation, because I've talked to Chris and he wants to go forward and get saved. We didn't know there was somebody up there who wasn't a Christian. I kind of skipped over that idea. Because you're talking to different ones that go to this church. In fact, when they all stood up, I go to this church. So I talked to one of the pastors. Pastor Bixler was there, who's over in Mount Joy, because I knew he was always sitting right at the front. I said, when you see a gentleman, I described him to him. I said, you see him come front, you come up and begin to deal with him, because he's not a Christian. And so Chris comes up with the last service when I gave a time for meditation and the time to maybe come and make a decision for Christ or whatever it may be. And he came up. And he came up with Jim, another Jim, a friend of Jim's. But anyway, he came up with Jim and he just began to give his testimony. And he says, I'm just starting my journey. I just got to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I mean, just with boldness. And he said, would you pray for me as I'm on this new journey? And so somebody took the time to be a teacher there at the men's retreat. And so again, when it says here, you ought to be teachers, if you've been saved for a while, it ought to come to a place where, okay, you can help somebody. And you don't need a classroom to help somebody. You can have a little Bible study at home. I know several men in here that are doing that. I at least know four or five that are doing that. Having little home Bible studies or interacting with a couple guys together, a couple ladies together. We have ladies Bible study. And you ought to do that, but you have need to one teach you again, which is the first principles of the oracle of God, and become such as need of milk and not of strong meat. So it goes back to what babes need. You know, you don't want to hand a steak to a baby. Of course, they wouldn't be able to digest it. I wouldn't be able to eat it. But they start with milk, and he says, you still need milk. You still need the milk of the word. You should have grown by this point. And so then he goes on to say in verse number 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. Doesn't mean you can't teach milk. I think that's where you often start. Doesn't mean you can't still enjoy milk. Brother Greg, you still enjoy chocolate milk, don't you?
Very much so.
So do I. Not my favorite form of it. I haven't found the cow that gives it yet, but I still enjoy chocolate milk.
I still enjoy milk. I still enjoy the milk of the word. I don't know about you. I love some of the best. In fact, sometimes I need milk. And just maybe the day it is or where I am spiritually need some milk from the word. But again, he says, he's trying to describe it. Those who simply, the only thing they use is milk because they're not skillful. But strong meat, verse number 14, belongeth to them that are full age, those who have grown, even those by reason of use have their senses exercised.
Greg's son, Jordan, gave testimony here maybe 10, 12 years ago, I don't know. And he said the best thing about camp for him was, as a camp counselor, he had to start getting something out of the word in order to give it to somebody. And it really made him grow. And because he was having to, by reason of use, exercise to discern between good and evil, it says here. And so I find that twin benefit. Number one, we ought to be teachers, and then being a teacher forces you to grow even more. And if you wait to know everything to do it, you'll never do it. Don't put off the opportunities. Don't shrug aside the opportunity to teach and to help somebody to grow and change. Because as a Christian, that's in part what's going to help you to grow and change, is taking on that opportunity and that ministry to minister to others. And so it goes on into the first verse of chapter 6. I didn't talk about there. I'm not going to talk about it here. But again, are you living your life dependent upon someone else for your growth? I always enjoy talking to Peter because he's always got a verse that the Lord's working on his heart about. And then the other night when the missionary or the church planner was here, he used a verse he had talked to me about in the morning. He said, "Hey, this is my verse for the week." And that night I said, "Hey, did you hear that guy? He used your verse." And he did. And I love talking to a guy who's a hands-on worker, but he's in the word. He's growing, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Derek, and Derek almost always, after a Sunday school lesson or after a message, "Hey, when you were preaching, I thought of this, and boy, it's good." Sometimes I adapt it into the next week's Sunday school. I don't ever give him credit, because I'm such a humble man. I want to teach him humility. At times I do give him credit. That's right, because he's so humble, he doesn't take credit. But no, I love that fact. These guys aren't Bible college graduates. I've learned to master things. They're just the men that want to know God. And that's awesome. And so let's all of us feed ourselves and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the evening you gave us. A little different. But I thank you for the time of fellowship, the time of laughter. Thank you for all seven of the other men who went, and no shame on anybody that didn't, but I think all those men enjoyed it. Number of those men, we were kind of like, we're not really crowd people, and just go out and meet new people. But you allowed us to go, and you allowed us to enjoy one another and get to know some others. Help us all to feed ourselves and to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us this week. We want to teach somebody else. Maybe it's the gospel at the Denver Fair. And so, Father, really a prayer of dedication for this upcoming week, for each one that works. May you help them to enjoy working for you in the ministry. Would you help them to work well with one another? Would our testimony be upright while we're in the midst of our community, especially? May you give us some unique opportunities. Maybe there's someone with a broken heart, somebody can just pray it with. We don't have to necessarily create a balloon animal to be a blessing to somebody. And so may we maybe acknowledge somebody who looks a little discouraged or downtrodden. May we encourage a parent to teach and to feed and to make sure their children are being fed the Word of God. May you work with Pastor Seth as he leads this. May you give others a passionate desire to really take over this ministry. We don't want Pastor Seth leading every ministry. We'll exhaust him doing that. And so maybe you'll burden someone else to take on more leadership toward this fair ministry in the future so that he can kind of take a back seat and be one that signs up on the list like everyone else. And so may we work together. May we show forth Christ. May you give us strength. May you give us protection. And we just thank you for the body you've given to us. May we uphold one another in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.